Welcome back to another exciting episode of Goth Girl Horror, the Hack Slash podcast. And this time, we are looking at Hack Slash versus the Seance Room with the creator of the Seance Room, Ben Goldsmith. Thank you for coming back on the show with us, Ben.
You're welcome. What's going on to the Hack Slash community and world at large? How are you guys? How are you, Chris?
Good. Last time we had you on, you were in Kickstarter for this comic book, and now this comic book is out, and it was fantastic.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, it is a thing that exists in the world right now. As well as I think we're also on the fourth omnibus of Hack Slash right now too. So wheels of time keep rolling on.
Correct. Now, this comic book had five variant covers.
Five, we so there was the Ian Nichols one, there was the one from the fell up in Maine. We had one with live models, the standard edition, and then Virgin, right? Is that that's yeah, that's five.
Right, and you guys also had accompanying comic books with it. It wasn't just Hack Slash versus the Seance Room. It was also three other issues of the Seance Room too.
Yeah, but we'll be covering that on your Seance Room podcast
Yes. We'll be
later.
when we run out of Hack Slash to talk about in the 20th anniversary of Hack Slash this year, it'll become the Seance Room podcast where we wax poetically about the Seance Room. And I have a real person who runs a seance on the show to completely debase your comic book because they're like, what the fuck was this guy writing about?
Yeah, get on it.
With
Seance
his
that thing.
ripoff looking Tony Stark motherfucker and
Yeah, so we were lucky. So I've been writing this book Seance Room for a couple of years now, and we were lucky enough to have Tim, I kind of went over this last time I was on, but Tim Seeley, creator of Hack Slash, he and I just sort of got friendly over the years at shows and stuff, and he offered to let me use Hack Slash, and I think it's probably without question the most least known thing he's ever let team up with Hack Slash. But he did, and we did, and we made it, and it came out, and it was actually a lot of fun. It was the actual book itself, it was always kind of a question of, well, anytime you team up something, you don't want your thing to come out looking like the loser, but you don't want the person who, is considerably more well established than you and was respectful enough to let you use something. You don't want their thing to look like the loser in the battle of the who wins this. So it was always kind of a question of like, how do we balance that, and how do we actually make it so that kind of both properties come away, relatively unscathed, but at the same time we can really explore something new through that. And so that was, I think that was always the big concern going into it. But I think we did okay.
you guys also put out a couple of cool prints. I want to point out the artist on real quick. One of them, okay, this one's gonna have me take off my glasses and pull out the magnifying glass to read. On the very bottom, it says Lunder 2022, and it's got Cassie and Vlad behind your Seance Room, gentlemen.
Yeah, that's this guy Jesse. Jesse is the artist up in Maine, and yeah, great fellow, really nice guy, and he is as big of a, you should hit him up at some point. He's as big of a Hack Slash fan as I believe you are,
Oh, excellent.
and he reached out to me. He was like, "In any capacity, can I do something?" So I was like, yeah, "Absolutely!" And so, we put for the Kickstarter. I just added a couple prints. Like, Tim actually did a print for it that is brand new of Cassie with the Ouija carved into her back, which was
Yeah,
really cool.
I was just about to get to that too. And yes,
Yeah.
that's by Tim Seeley. That's a really cool, I always love the artist being able to draw his character. Obviously, Tim being very busy, writing is a little easier than the doing the artwork as well.
Yeah, he offered to do that, and I kept saying like, well, do you want me to, can I, he was, let me just put it this way, he was really nice about that in a way that I was like, dude, you don't have to do that. So Tim actually did that drawing, which is great. So and then we did a print with Ben Templesmith did a print of, but it wasn't Cassie, it was just Harry he did, because he actually did one of the issues that was in that Kickstarter. And then Jesse Lundberg. Yeah, he did it because he loved it. So he wanted to be involved. I said, yeah, dude, if you do a print, we'll include it with the rewards and everything. And And so I think he was pretty happy. He actually printed out a bunch of the cover for himself and had Tim sign a couple, I think I saw on his Instagram out in Chicago at C2E2.
Well,
Yeah.
I'm going to go over the plot synopsis really quick for the issue, and then we will dive into the comic book page by page. Cassie and Hack are pursuing a serial killer, and they run into the seance room where Cassie is given a look into the void of the supernatural and given a choice of what to do with the serial killer and possibly her own future. Where did you come up with the idea for the story for this to make it self-contained? And that's the nice thing about the seance room is that it seems like every issue is self-contained. You don't have to worry about like having to read issue one to read issue three. And however, I have
Right,
said this
yeah.
before, issue one out of all of them is the best issue that you wrote. I'm not
Oh,
saying
thanks,
issues
man.
two, three, and four are bad. I'm saying issue one is the best written out of all
Oh, thanks,
of them.
bud. Yeah, the and well, and that's it's kind of cool because I think, you know, all of the each one is it's definitely its own story, and so you know, like anything, like Twilight Zone, you'll appreciate some episodes more than others, and just that's just the way of it, right? So, Seance Room itself. They're, yeah, self-contained, and every issue someone is gonna kind of go through a little bit of mental torment, learn something, and typically in a pretty twisted way. That's really the basis for it. The Cassie Hack, the Hack slash Seance Room is, I think, probably the most inside baseball. Like of all the issues, that's the one that you have to have the most previous knowledge of the property to really appreciate like what Cassie goes through. And I threw caution to the wind with this one a little bit where I was like, I can't imagine people picking this book up just be like, oh, I wonder what this is. Like it's one of those things where for the most part it's gonna be Hack slash fans who are gonna read this. So I didn't there wasn't a whole lot of I didn't feel any pressure to keep it really loose, you know, and invite a lot of new audience in. So I think I was, you know, pretty, yeah, like I said, like inside baseball with Cassie, especially there are things where, and we'll get into it with the pages, but there's things like, unless you really understand her, you've read the books, you won't really understand what's going on. And that's not typical of Seance Room. That's extremely, idiosyncratic of this issue. But yeah, we came up with the idea just sort of, that's that stupid commercial, the Reese's one, right? Like you got your peanut butter and my chocolate. You know that, right?
Right.
Yeah. Then you got your chocolate and peanut butter. So I decided I was like, well, Cassie, her whole thing is she famously punishes people with physical violence. That is really her thing. She's like, you screwed up and I'm coming at you and it's gonna be physical. And then a lot of that is the byproduct of what has happened to her in her story, right? Well, Harry, from my book, the lead guy of the seance room there, he's all about the psychological torture. And I just thought, wouldn't it be interesting if they both had the same object of derision and kind of looked at which of their, because they do also attack sort of similar people, right? Like Cassie and Harry, they both pretty much go for people who deserve it in a lot of ways, right? So I was like, well, which one works is more efficient? Which one is a better way? Is Cassie's physical or Harry's psychological? And that was the entire genesis of the story, as was almost a contest.
So in the first four pages, as they're chasing down this guy missing his hand, this reminds me of this guy with glasses reminds me of a sidekick Carnage had for a little while over in the Marvel Comics book. I think the two of them were kind of running concurrently. He had a guy who worshipped Carnage, and Carnage like lopped off one of his hands.
Yeah.
He continued like palling around with Carnage for a bit. I don't remember exactly what happened to him. That's just kind of what it reminded me of, just because he's got a guy with glasses, obviously some kind of scholar or something like that. But I do like it when Cassie meets Harry, and she immediately is like, "I do not like you. Noted. My serious apologies. Please do come in." And he's such a gentleman, despite the fact she is a bitch. I mean, let's face it, Cassie is a bitch. Okay, there's no qualms about it. There's no niceties about it. She is a mean
Well,
bitch.
right, and again, that all kind of comes from like her history, right? It's like she's found that is the only way to be in order to exist in her world, right? So like, and Harry, he doesn't really kind of care about anything. He's dapper. He's more of like kind of a ghost. He doesn't really exist in this plane. Like he, so already, and she doesn't realize that of what he is, but she also doesn't care. She doesn't give a fuck. Like, cause it doesn't, Harry is inconsequential to her. She has this serial killer who this is, she's going to kill him. And Vlad is with her too. And if you ever really want a thrill in your life is be a comic book appreciator and then one day get to write a script and write Vlad says, and that, which he doesn't say a lot, but but like when you actually get to write him or Cassie into a script that is going to get made, that was probably one of the coolest moments for me ever of writing comics. And the other part too, which is kind of interesting, another sort of inside baseball for comic creators is I didn't have a lot of, so you get your 22 pages, and I didn't have a lot of real estate to really establish that this guy deserved. Because what Cassie and Harry do to this killer guy is awful. I mean, truly, truly awful. And I didn't have a lot of time to say, space, really real estate in the actual comic to say why do we hate him. So he's an animal abuser. He abuses and kills animals. And that was the quickest way that if I just say that, right, that's enough for you as an audience member for the most part, or the general population to go, oh, fuck that guy. Yeah, do whatever you need to do. Like, and that was also a distinct tool was to say this guy just abuses animals, and then for the most part, I'm gonna guess that the audience is gonna go have at him, and then we can let Cassie and Harry have more of the actual real estate of the comic book as opposed to trying to build up this guy and make you think he does or does not deserve this. But I always loved that. I loved that as a just from a comic book, the actual physical function of a comic book. I love that about it.
We're getting to if for anyone tuning into this episode, the beginning of the episode where you had some unusual music playing, we're actually going to be using music from your soundtrack to accompany this podcast episode for the
Oh,
introduction.
thank you.
Just go
That's
into a little
great.
bit about the soundtrack that accompanies your comic book series.
Oh, Chris, that's so nice of you, man. Thank you. What a very considerate thing to do.
Side note, this will be edited out. Send me an MP3 to plug into the episode because I can't
That's
hard to record from it's hard to record from a vinyl record, so send me an MP3 as soon as we get off this call.
okay, I will remember to do that. Edit
MP3,
voice.
please.
The soundtrack. We actually myself and a friend of mine created a vinyl record that is I'm trying to think of the word anachronistic. Like it exists on its own of the seance room. It's like an issue of the seance room in a musical format that tells its own story. That's sort of a more macro story. And yeah, it's a part 1920s Berlin vaudevillian music, and then it's part noise rock, and there's parts of it that are like, beautiful acoustic. Could have been on a Pink Floyd record at some point. I think that's the best way. It's like it was if Pink Floyd had made a horror movie soundtrack. That's what it is. And we kickstarted it and made it, and yeah, it exists. And I do have copies left. If you go to at MRBENAU on Instagram or email me, MrBenGoldsmith@gmail.com. You can get your own copies.
What is the void that Cassie opens the door to that she's like, yeah, nope.
So, it was a little bit of I mean, in my head, it was the Beetlejuice door, right? Like, we're but I think for her. It was just a fun. I think, there are certain things that are just fun to have, and sometimes you don't think too much more than that. And I just I think that was one of those like great gags of it's whatever you think. I mean, what did you think was there? Did you have a ex girlfriends? I don't know. Whatever was behind that door for you.
I think she saw just something that she is just not used to dealing, and the supernatural is not something she has a lot of fun with, even though she understands the supernatural exists in order for the slashers to come back. But still, I mean, I think she's pretty much a grounded in reality kind of person that wants to deal with like your typical Michael Myers kind of slasher and less Chucky.
And certainly less poltergeist, right? Like, because you can't baseball bat a ghost. That I mean, that was probably the most fun thing was putting her in that world, and then as we will get to, into her own psychology, which is where Harry kind of takes the rug out from underneath her as it progresses.
Some of the other characters that show up in the séance room issue as well are kind of unique. Are those all original to this story?
So there are six ghosts that are trapped inside the séance room, and they're all sort of Harry's harem of ghosts, and they are at his beck and call. And so they all kind of show up in this one. It's sort of like a special. It's like when like when on ABC. The cast would go to Disney World and everyone from the show for the last like 2 years would show up at some point or something, it's because it's a special. And so that's what this was. And all six of the ghosts are in this issue at one point or another and get to just say hello or move things forward. But because I think the king and the queen, that's the ghosts of love and power. They are the ones who actually end up sort of getting to fuck with the animal killer guy, and it happens pretty early on too, because you think like, oh, this is the whole point is who's going to win, but you quickly realize that Cassie may actually be there for a reason.
You're right with, by the way, that Vlad doesn't say very much. I do like the fact that when he does meet Harry for the first time, he's cracking his fingers, which is pretty funny. And of course, obviously, Cassie immediately runs into her mother, the spirit of which, and it kind of freaks her out because it's obviously a demon that she's never overcome. Even though she did kill her mother, like Batman has caught his parents' killer. Things like that, it doesn't seem like these people ever want to get over their trauma. Punisher has avenged his family. Hell, his wife just recently came back from the dead because of the hand, but that's a whole other stupid thing.
Yeah, that bringing her mother in was really important to me, because you never really see Cassie too often in a place of almost infantile distress, right? Like she's so self-assured because she's done so much, and it's just an awesome character, and you don't really, in a lot of ways, you don't want to like beat out the pathos of a character who's one of their selling points is just how fucking cool they are, right? Like that can kill something too, right? So, but in this, where that's specifically the point of Seance Room, I did want her to come face to face with her mother again, and in a way that she can't just beat with a baseball bat, and she can't send Vlad after, and she can't quip her way out of. And she does get a little, she does, you can, she does have a moment of like legitimate distress of, and I again, I sent all the stuff I sent over to Tim, and I was like, Tim, is this okay if I do this? And he said, yeah, that's fine. And so this was all stuff that Tim was okay with me doing. And I think, again, because Cassie does, not to tip the hand or move forward too fast, but Cassie does come out and she does kick ass and she gets through it, and she does it in the way that Cassie always does, which is that she grits her teeth, she barrels through hell, and she gets through. And so it was, I think that was the more important thing, is like it was fun to put her back in those uncomfortable situations for her, but I always knew that that it was just going to be a stop for her on the train. Like it was never going to be a, all is lost for her. Actually, I think because I think almost right after that is the bit where the ghosts try to go into Vlad's mind, right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and the ghosts just recoil because whatever Whatever Vlad is hiding was so atrocious that they couldn't deal with it.
Which is funny to think about because Vlad doesn't hold anything in. He's not, he looks like the monster that Cassie's holding inside her. Vlad is very much like he has come to accept his existence. He was raised by somebody who was very caring too, don't forget. You know, the meat man or whatever it was, even though he was abandoned by his family. And yeah, he has some weird extra family issues that have been confronted and dealt with and killed off. You know what I mean? But it seems like Vlad's got it together, whereas Cassie just can't get it together.
Well, and it does speak to, because I've always
And that's
found,
what I think that's what Harry's trying to help her with, and or she's never gonna accept it.
and that, that is kind of what ends up happening. Plus, I've always found that like in general, people, the sort of the really placid, calm people are typically really fucked up, but they've done a much better job of accepting it, because they're not running from how fucked up they are. And that's just, what I've seen of human behavior. But yes, Cassie does. She sort of like kind of reasserts herself in her Cassiness, and really by the end, like, is back to form. But as I think, as they're leaving the house, they're out. They've had enough. The bad guy, the killer that they were coming in to deal with, he's done. That was never really the point, right? And they're walking away, and they have this really sweet moment, Vlad and Cassie, of like, which to me was always like, Cassie, that level of friendship that they have and camaraderie is the sort of unsung hero of who they are. And so I really wanted it to be like they got through this really awful experience together.
Right.
And because they were there for each other, that was a huge part of what was able to get, and just have a really sweet moment between them. Which I, th those are some, when Tim, so Tim does that a lot, actually. That was a pretty much a steal, right? That was like a lift, or an homage, I guess you'd call it. But he does that a lot, and I love when he does that. It's one of my favorite things. So I wanted that to be the sort of the important thing. And at the same time too, it doesn't say like, oh, I'm glad we, it really kind of leaves things like Cassie could be a little shook by what happened, and that is what then causes her to say like, I'm glad you're my friend, essentially. And so there's a little bit of an unstable ground on which it's set. So then it has that extra layer too after what they've just gone through. So and that's how we got the sort of everyone gets to walk away smelling like roses, but at the same time, everything was kind of different at the same time, as if it never happened in a lot of ways. So I think we did a good job. I've had some really good reactions from the Hackslash community. People seem to be pretty pleased with it. Tim hasn't didn't say that we're not talking anymore, so I take that as sort of a good thing.
Good, good. Well,
Yeah.
it's a great issue. I absolutely do love it. Probably my second favorite issue of Seance Room. I don't know if I'm biased because Cassie and Vlad are in it, but it's
Sure,
absolutely good
sure.
stuff. So, where can people find issues of Seance Room to buy?
So if you guys, I would say that right now is the only way to do it is really through my Instagram. So go to Instagram. That's at MrBenAU, Mr. Ben AU. Or you can, again, you can email me at MrBenGoldsmith@gmail.com. And then one thing I wanted to ask you, Chris, so as a Hackslash fan, and we've talked a little bit about this outside of the podcast, but as a Hackslash fan, was there anything that you would have that for you was like interesting, right? As like again, as speaking as a Hackslash fan, I'd be curious to find out.
Interesting about your issue. Oh, just again, Cassie and Vlad being put into a situation that they're completely out of their element on, but the sharp pacing of the issue and the dialogue were really on point.
Thanks, man. That's a huge compliment, because that's some of the toughest stuff to actually do.
Well, you can take that to the bank and stick it on the trade paperback back cover whenever you get that around.
Deal. I do. Yeah, for sure. Actually, yeah, I'm taking that.
Goth Girl Horror, the Hack Slash Pod, Goth Girl Horror, the Hack Slash Podcast host says this. So, if
Sharp.
you need to remember, if you need to find it, it'll be on here on the podcast. So,
Yeah, sharp pacing and dialogue. Well, thank you, man. And thank you for having me on the show. And thank you to all the Hack Slash fans who, like myself, who continue to just be glad that we have something that, is fun and still has that heart of horror and comics, and
absolutely.
much, much like Vlad itself, can't die, and just gets to keep going.
Don't forget, you can find all the episodes of Goth Girl Horror on the Radio Horror Network. If you go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Audible and happen to listen to this, please leave a 5-star rating on any of those platforms. And if you want to send us an email, please do at thatradiohorror@gmail.com. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with another exciting episode of Goth Girl Horror covering Hack Slash.